like confetti in a Wednesday.
Welcome to Story to Screen here on KPEO World Community Radio, where we're rocking the film world each week on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can go online, download the app, and listen in weekly with new guests and music, or catch the replay on wearestarfish.org. This is Story to Screen, and I'm your host, Eric Krefeld. Let's dive in. Hey, everybody, it's Eric. I'm your host here at Story to Screen. I want to thank you guys for joining us. Happy New Year. And once again, just to remind you, we're going to do a little bit of a mashup of the last year, and then we're going to start all over again fresh next week. So join us again next week for a new show, and let's dive in. Hello, and welcome to Story to Screen. I'm your host, Eric, and we are rocking the film world with filmmakers and music professionals, and you, our listeners, here at KPEO Radio.
And I've got Ivory from Georgia Hotspot. He's a film and TV producer. So we got our music side, we got our film side, and we're ready to rock and roll. So we are rocking the film world here with Story to Screen. So I'm going to bring up Nate first. Nate, can you just tell us a little bit about who you are and you know, a little bit about PBM and what your spot is in PBM?
Sure. So PBM stands for Peanut Butter Mosquito, and we've been around, formed in Detroit about 1997, so we've been around for a while. And from about 2002 to about 2008, I had the opportunity to tour quite extensively. We hit all 48 continental United States, spent some time over in Europe. Released a few CDs, had one released nationally in 2006, and we've had our music featured in at least, I think, almost every country with cable, I believe, has our music has floated around somewhere in there, and we've been doing that since, like I said, around 1997, and we kind of stopped around 09, 2010, when all of us decided to get married and have thousands of children, and then we decided about a year ago to kind of get back at it. So that's what we've been doing. I'm the singer in the group, also the primary songwriter, and we pretty much had the same lineup for the last 25 years. Had the same group of guys, which has been quite a blessing for us. That all of us have been able to keep in touch over the years, and you know, we're kind of a pop rock group. With the horn section, and you know, a lot of people have compared us to, like, you know, Green Day, Bare Naked Ladies with horns, things like that. Yeah. But yeah, you know, I guess you can compare it to whatever you want, as long as you listen to it. So,
well, being able to keep the same guys in a band for that length of time is definitely that's a miracle all on its own. We'll come back to that. Have you had any of your music be able to get into TV shows or film yet, Nate?
Not yet. That is something that has kind of eluded us. We did have an opportunity. We have had our music featured on national radio and television, but we have never had anything in any type of TV show or movie that I know of. It could be somewhere that I do not know of, and if someone else knows of it, I'd love to find that out. But as far as I know, we have not, and that is a frontier I think we would be very interested to conquer at some point.
Right on, right on, man. Well, that's, you know, that's a lot of the reason that we're all here is this show is all about bringing musicians and producers together to create opportunities for young people. And
last night, while the cold air was splitting in half due to cell phones emitting all the chronic static of our time, I sat back, I thought about cavemen talking in grunts and groans. How was life then? Were they really all that far behind? I tried to get away, but everything plugged in, it pulls me down.
So with that, I'm going to flip over to Mr. Ivory. Welcome to the show, Ivory.
Thank you, Eric, for having me.
Yeah, thank you, man. Can you tell everybody just a little bit about who you are, Ivory, and what you work on?
Awesome. Well, I am a medical professional by trade, entrepreneur. I've always had a passion for film, and in college, I had a decision to make, either, you know, pay the bills or be a starving artist as a filmmaker. So I chose to go the medical route, but still always kept in touch with my passion for, you know, film and TV and the creative process. And much recently, got the opportunity to do some things. I did a few documentaries about pro athletes, NBA players, and that kind of sparked the interest again to make it a transition in life, and which I did, and subsequently started shooting George's Hot Spots, which I've been shooting, and you've been a huge part of that project, Eric, in creating these episodes and moving us down the line. So doing that has allowed me to kind of open doors into other projects and meeting people to curate and create other projects, which have brought us to a media now where we're working on a streaming platform ordeal, which we should have finalized shortly and will launch in 2024.
Awesome. Good to hear, man. Well, and, you know, and again, that's a lot of the reason why we're here. So, you know, part of what I want to do is stop talking too much and get you guys talking together about, you know, the kinds of things that could and should be happening in this industry. And part of that gets down to when you've got film producers and TV producers, and then you've got musicians working together. The idea with this show is that we're going to be able to get you guys working in the same spaces together, because every film producer needs music underneath their stuff, whether it's TV, movies, documentaries, I don't care what it is. You guys all need music, and all of you musicians, I don't know if you've all figured it out yet, but you need visual media in order to sell what you do, because visual is still the most moving, powerful medium to sell anything. Give it up, yes, I'm
ready. Thanks for listening to Story to Screen here at KPEO Radio. I'm your host, Eric, and we are rocking the film world with new filmmakers, new music professionals. Tune in every Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll see you there.
We are rocking the film world with music. And tonight's special guest, we've got Carlene Thyssen. We also have filmmaker Imo Buck. If I'm saying his name incorrectly, I apologize. I've been working on it for a week, and I probably still didn't get it. I don't know if Imo's going to be able to join us tonight. I hope he is. I will talk about his work a little bit, even if he doesn't make it in. Super great guy. But right now, we've got Carlene here. That was her song that we were just listening to. Carlene, say hello to the world and let us know a little bit about you.
Okay, I will. It's nice to meet everyone. And I'm a Woodstock child. And so I was at Woodstock in 1969, and almost everything about me some seems to hearken back there. And so, but mostly I went to Woodstock. I was a peace, love, and music hippie person. And then, like, when I got to be about 23, all of a sudden I thought, oh, it must be time to grow up now. And so I cut my hair and started wearing suits and finished my college degree. And, you know, and then I played occasionally. Well, I play in churches. But really occasionally in backyards and at parties and stuff like that. And then when I got older, I got married and moved to Florida, and not far from a community called Immokalee, which rhymes with broccoli, if in case you want to remember it. And I was volunteering singing music to little children. This whole thing kind of built on a philosophy I have, which is doing what comes easy and watching for signs. And so, you know, singing music to little children was easy for me because I sang and, you know, and I grew up singing and playing guitar and piano. And then I started singing at their church, and then I really got enamored with these people, which is basically an immigrant farm worker population. And I hope I'm not talking too much, but this is a sort of a continuum story.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And so anyway, I decided through a series of, there were all these God-centered events that happened. Like I came upon Immokalee because one night I was at a meditation group and I was not happy with my independent consulting business world, which I was very successful at, but it became meaningless to me. And these people said, you sing and play the guitar, and you're like, kids, why don't you find a place to sing for children? So that's how that was the God sign. And the next morning, in the newspaper, the front page said, Guadalupe Family Center and Snyderman Shoes bring a busload of children into Naples. And and they all the kids get free shoes, all the farm worker kids. And then, so that was how that one happened. And then there I was, I wanted to go back and finish my master's degree in medieval history, which I had started in Chicago. But when I got over to FIU in Miami, the research course I had signed up for was medieval history. But the professor said, I don't know how this happened, but it's been turned into a Latin American history class. And so they said, well, you can leave and, you know, go to different medieval history, but we're going to work on Latin American history. And I said, well, I know all these people out in this place called Immokalee, most of whom are from originally, or their ancestors were from Mexico, Guatemala, and Haiti. Could I write a paper about, like, the Catholic Church in that town? And they were very enthusiastic. And I ended up at Florida International University getting my master's degree in Latin American history when I was, I don't know what, 50, 51 or something. And then it's such a fun story, I think. But then my husband said, why don't you, my master's thesis was about the people of Immokalee. He said, why don't you turn that into a reader-friendly book? So I got, and this is a little bit of a long story, but I'm almost done because I realized this evening it ties what we were talking about tonight together in this very strange way. So in any case, I turned the thesis into a book, and the book was very popular. And then a friend of mine who makes documentaries read it. She said, we have to make a documentary out of this. But she said, but we need music. And I said, no, I can't write music. I don't know how to write music, but I'll find some. So I took 3 months to find music that would go with Immokalee's Fields of Hope. And at the end of that time, I just discouragedly sat down at the piano and just started plunking around with some chords. And I wrote the perfect song for that documentary called Take These Hands. And I don't know if I send that one to you even. It's one of my absolute best still. But what was cool about it and how it fits in with what we're talking about tonight is I was able to write that music for a documentary that I was part of making. So in that case, I actually ended up doing both parts of what the show is about.
Yeah, that is an amazing story. I love it. And you're right. It so wraps up everything that you know, our show is about, is you know, putting the music side together with the filmmaking side of things.
Ema, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you. Thank you so much. So thank you for having me online. My name is Imo Victor Chibueze, and I'm from Lagos, Nigeria. I'm 20 years old, and I'm a Christian filmmaker. I'm a director, a producer, I'm an editor, I'm a dancer, I'm an actor, I'm an artist, I'm a keyboardist, yeah. So, yeah, and everything I do is ministry-based, yeah. So I'm a Christian in everything I do. So thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you for that good introduction. That gives us a lot to go on. So, Emo, let's start with the just the filmmaking side of this. So the films that you are making, are they all Christian films?
Basically, on my profile, it's supposed to be Christian movies, faith-based movie, and also inspirational movies. So, but basically, the dominant ones, they are Christian movies, yeah. So, but I have few faith-based movies and inspirational film, yeah.
Perfect. All right, yeah, and you know, I've watched a lot of your stuff. I've tried to follow and subscribe to everything I could find from you, and let's talk about, like, so you know, you're always, dude. Every time I look up, you've got a new thing you're posting. So I don't, if you want to talk to us a little about anything that you're in the middle of, that is something you're working on or something you just wrapped up, you know, give us a little insight, information on some of the stuff you're doing.
Okay. Thank you. So, where do I start from? Okay. So about a month ago, I had some couple of productions. I shot about 4 different short movies. Basically, they are all yet to be released. Yeah, I just released Ignorance, the trailer of Ignorance, just last 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
Yeah. So, basically, I'm still on the pre-production aspect of this, but because of most outside productions, not my production, outside productions, so it has been, I've been unable to edit my own movies. Yeah. And also, currently, I recently moved back into graphic designing fully, because before I used to be a graphic designer, but it got a little bit so clumsy and so difficult for me. So now, currently, I decided to move back into graphic design, and to me, I have been improving. Yeah, so I'm doing my graphic design, I'm doing my movies, I'm editing, and I'm also working on little content, like little podcasts, podcasts and motivational videos. Yeah.
So hold on. Let's back that up right there really quick, and just I want to make sure everybody catches that. So you're doing the cinematography DP work, right? So you're the actual cameraman on some of these, or most of these?
Yes.
Okay. So you're doing the shooting.
What
about the audio? Are you do you have an audio person on set that you work with, or are you running audio yourself as well?
Basically, I want audio myself, because I don't have what it takes to employ an audio person to work on my audio. You know, I told you initially that I use my mobile to shoot, so
yeah.
It's basically more of a low budget movies I do. So not like I don't really spend a lot. I spend, but not a lot. So
okay.
It's just low budget. So I do them myself.
Okay.
Actually, God blessed me with so many things. So many things you see in productions today, I do so many of it. The film posters, I create them myself. My cinematography, my editing, my directing, my producing, I do them myself. Yeah,
and that's what I'm trying to make sure everybody is catching that and understanding that you really are a one-man production team. You're doing the pre-production, the production, the post-production, and you're putting out. I mean, I would venture to guess you're putting out at least like one or two shows every couple of weeks from what I've seen, because I watch, and you know, you're putting out stuff very regularly.
Yeah.
What about your actors and stuff? You know, like some of these productions you're doing, you've got several actors in them. Are these reoccurring people that you're able to use and reutilize over and over again? or are you going out into your neighborhoods and just finding new people all the time? How does that work for you?
Okay, basically, I'll start by saying this. My family has really been a great support for me, my mom and my siblings. Yeah, so basically, if you watch most of my movies, you see some certain kind of people constantly in my movies. Yeah, most of them are my family, and most of them are just my friends. You know, it's easier gathering your friends to help you run your jobs and run your stuff than going outside to call other people when you know you are not paying them. It's something that we are all trying together to come together and to build together. So most times I use reoccurring people in my movies, and most times if I feel there's need for me to call an outsider, I can just go outside my neighborhood and then look for people that can, I know they can help me out without demanding for anything, because it's something that we are not getting paid for. We're just trying to do something to put it out there and to glorify God's name. Yeah.
And that's, I'm kudos to you, man, because that is, you're putting in a lot of work. I know you put in a lot of hours on it, because I know what I do, and you're doing all of it on every production. So you're putting in a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of hours, a lot of energy. And so, you know, I guess my next question is really, like, what, if you're not getting paid and you're not making money on this, like, you're not getting paid for what you're doing, what is the purpose in doing it?
The purpose of me doing it is more of like preparing myself for the future, more of like a development, building myself. Yeah, I know that me currently investing my time, sacrificing my time to do these things, I'm not getting paid for it right now. But I know in future, this is something. Okay, you know, to build a house, you need to set out your foundation. After setting out your foundation, you need to buy some couple of blocks, some couple of building materials. Then you start working on the building. From the building, you move to the windows and the doors, and then the windows and the doors. Then you move to the roofing. After the roofing, then you move into furnituring. That is what it is for me. It is more of like building a house.
Sure.
So it's something that you need to, I need to work on the foundation. I'm not thinking about getting paid or even becoming successful. My primary aim is to build myself to a certain level. Yeah, to build myself to be good at what I do. So basically, I invest my time, I sacrifice my time, I sacrifice my sleep. Most times I sleep 2 hours a day. I just sleep 2 hours, and I use my remaining time to work and watch videos, learn online. Yeah, I don't have the money to go outside to learn, but I learn on my own. So I work online, work in the night, work every time. Just make sure I be a better person. And I know that in future, it will pay. Hard work pays. It's just like a step.
All right, so yeah, man, that was Devils in the Details by Randy. We've got an amazing group of people here tonight. We're super excited to have everybody here. Super talented people with a lot of really incredible things coming up, and I can't wait to bring each one of them on and talk about what they're doing. Let's start with Randy, since we did just finish up with one of your songs. Randy, how you doing tonight, Randy?
I'm doing great, Eric. Thanks for having me.
Oh, fabulous, man. Thanks for being here. Randy, can you introduce yourself however you like to be called?
Yep, I'm Randy Stevens. I'm out here in Southwest Florida. Musician, songwriter, guitar player, extraordinaire. I guess that's what I am.
Yes, absolutely. You have to throw the extraordinaire in there, because this man is on top of his game everywhere he goes. I've seen him at multiple venues. I've seen him live. I've seen him in the studio. You know, just a heartbreaker, man. When he gets on that instrument and he just starts wailing on a song, woof. That song, Randy, tell me a little bit about that song. Like, how did you come up with that song?
Well, first of all, let me say thanks for that. I mean, for what you said, the kind words. And you know, it's hard to promote yourself sometimes, because you, like I said, I use the word extraordinary. But I want to just preface that I just love to do what I'm doing, and that's why I do what I do. And the guitar has been in my life since I was 14, and I'm now 57.
Wow.
And I've been writing songs, as you know, Eric. We've been talking for a few years now. But I'm a songwriter at heart also. Not only do I love to play electric guitar, and just have been doing that my whole life, I found myself being a songwriter. And I think just the devil in the details, just to talk about that song, I sometimes look for little fun things to write about, and I just thought, how can I write a song about the devil, being in the details? So I wrote it in a story format. I would not say this is one of my easier songs to write, but some of them just come out really, and those seem to be the best songs that I write are the ones that I don't seem to tarry too much over. But this song was massaged a little bit, but I love the idea, and I love having a story. And I tried to make it fun and light, and still kind of, you know, with a rocky vibe.
Absolutely, man. Well, it is so fun, and I don't know if it's light, but it is fun. It's one of those songs that, like, you hear it and you're tapping your foot and you're having a good time, and then you're like, wait, what did he just say? Wait.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I tried to approach some subjects and try to be careful too about things, but still to make it kind of. I find that if I say, you know, Albert Collins is one of my favorite blues artists, and what I loved about Albert Collins is the lyrical content.
Right on.
And there was always humor in his blues, you know.
Yeah.
Like I ain't drunk, I'm just drinking. You know? Or I can see the lights on, baby, but I can see there ain't nobody home. And, you know, he would just, one more classic that he put out was, there's too many dishes in the sink for just us two.
Nice.
You know, talking about somebody cheating on you and just, you know, you take a serious subject like cheating and you turn it into something that is... Well, it has some humor to it.
Right on. Well, and you know, it's what I love about music is the story writing. You know, the lyrical story writing behind it, and you know, part of this show is to bring filmmakers and music professionals together for a couple of purposes. One of the purposes is that they have so much in common that they need each other for. You know, filmmakers need music in their TV shows, films, movies, commercials, whatever medium they're working in. And, you know,
right.
And musicians, you know, you guys need visuals like all day long, every day. You have great stuff, but people like to see something too. And so,
right.
You know, I love, that's one of the things I love about this show is connecting those two dots together. So we've got two amazing filmmakers here tonight with us too. I'm going to let you guys introduce yourself. So Nikki, if we want to start with you.
Hi everyone. I'm Nikki Akmal. I'm a producer, line producer, production manager based in New York. I've been doing this for many, many years.
Awesome. And Rob?
Hi, I'm Rob Smithline. I'm the writer and director of the Hundreds Anthology, which is the series that we most recently worked on together. It's a story about six strangers trapped on a train, and it's five episodes, and each episode is about each character that's trapped on the train by a demon hunter named Mac, and he has to figure out which one of them is the demon. So it's a bit of a mystery and a thriller, and, you know, it doesn't take itself too seriously. You know, it's got some humor in it too. So that's been our latest project together.
Love it.
There's also some horror in that.
Right. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was gonna say I'd call it. It falls under horror, but it's nothing too gory. Kind of a PG-13 type of rating for it.
Right on. And where is it? Where is it first going to be distributed through, or like what's your concept for how you're getting it out and when it gets released and all that good stuff?
Well, it's already been released. It's available on Amazon and Tubi right now.
Okay.
And also recently YouTube at our distributor's channel, which is Indie Rights Movies for Free.
Awesome.
So you can catch it in all three of those places.
Awesome. So let's talk about the music in your TV show. How did you guys go about working through music for the show?
Well, this is a very different route. What we did was we got licensed music from a website.
Sure.
So it's mostly orchestral and, you know, I pretty much, you know, had a selection of music and figured out what was best for the mood of each episode. And they're all very different.
Yeah, I dig it. And that's, you know, I mean, that is what, you know, a lot of filmmakers tend to do. And there's a lot of reasons for it. Some of the reasons are it's easy. It's easy. It gives us the ability as filmmakers to, you know, just sit and peruse through hundreds and thousands of hours of music, pick and slice and dice what we want and use it. The part of the premise for this show is that, you know, in doing this, you know, Randy, as well as all the other musicians that have ever been on this show, they'll have their music played on KPEO radio now. So they'll get radio play for it, which means they'll also get royalties. And they're getting introduced to filmmakers like you guys that, you know, maybe some point in the future, there will be a connection between you guys that you'll go, oh man, remember that dude, that one song, you know, and you know, you'll be able to now have a network of musicians that you can call. Because now you'll have access to all of these musicians that are also on KPEO Radio and have been on this show, Story to Screen, which I personally find really exciting. That at a moment's notice, now, yes, you can always go back to what you're used to, but you also have this new opportunity now to pick up a phone, send an email, shoot out a text, and be like, OMG, I need a blues rock song. Remember that dude, Randy. How do I get in touch with him again?
And definitely.
Yeah, and then magic happens, you know. Now, like, possibly Randy can write a song, like, for an episode of yours, you know. Like, you're a writer. You understand that sometimes you can't fit a square peg in a round hole. Sometimes you need, you know, a round peg for that hole.
Yeah, and if I can add something, is that okay?
Yeah.
I don't just write blues rock. I do jazz, and I have done rock instrumentals too as well. So my forte is that, and I really appreciate about that about this this opportunity. And you know, I look forward to working with more films in the future.
We could also do a music video for you with Robert directing and me producing it.
Yeah.
Wow. There you go.
The world is wide open, you know, with how musicians and filmmakers can work together on things they both need. And I welcome and love the opportunities that are available when we start putting all this together with people. Because just like now you guys have access to all of the musicians that will be on this show through Story to Screen on KPEO Radio. Randy, you know, as a musician there, will also have, you know, from week to week to week, the different filmmakers that we bring in, the different, all of these different projects that are going to be happening over the next however many years, you guys now have a connection with each other.
Of a filmmaker and a music producer here on the show every week, as you know, bringing film and music together, rocking the film world with music. And tonight, very special treat. I've got Dave Sawicki here with us. Dave is a music producer and a filmmaker. So we're going to talk a little bit about how both of those brains work together in the same person. So I've got Mr. Sawicki here on the show right now. Dave, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Eric. You know, and, you know, right off the bat, I want to give you a lot of credit, you know, for doing this podcast and, you know, always putting a spotlight on positive creativity.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you being here and jumping in with us. I'll correct just a little spot there and say, you know, this is a live radio show, which the reason it's important is because on podcasts, artists and musicians and producers of music don't always get royalties paid on their music on podcasts, but they do on live radio, which is part of the reason why we do it this way. It turns into kind of a podcast in the end when it goes back onto wearestarfish.org. But it is a live radio show. That means that the music that gets played on this show is original music by the people that bring it to the station for us. And as it gets played on the radio, it gets royalties paid. So It's an important part of what we do and why we do it, which is to support original live music. So thank you for being on the show tonight, because you are the kind of person that we are talking about, an original producer, original music. And I want to talk a little bit about that. Dave, can you tell us about what you did as a producer, like promoting the positive music program that you've got going with Young Pop, Youth Under Construction, that whole thing that you do?
Well, you know, I got to start out by giving a shout out to my wife and partner in the project, Lisa. We celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary this year, and it's been 30 years since we met, you know, at a networking function that was hosted by Michael Jeffries, the man who eventually became one of our best friends. And, you know, Eric, hip-hop and rap took a turn into the darker side of humanity, in my opinion, in the early 90s. You know, so many popular songs at the time were about drugs, violence, and sexuality.
Yeah.
And as a singer-songwriter, I felt compelled to take a shot at turning the lyrics around. And a lot of music out there for toddlers, there was a huge void when it came to the teens. And personally, growing up in Detroit in the 60s, you know, I was glued to that transistor radio. And thank goodness, there were a lot of songs at that time that focused on topics like love and peace.
Yes.
So we had a vision to do something about that, you know, that situation I mentioned earlier. And I wrote the album over a 10-year period, which got recorded downtown at Harmony Park Studios in Detroit, run by the Pastoria Brothers. And we felt like we had an amazing team working with us. And to our delight, we made the CD, which won 4 top-level national awards from parenting-related organizations. And while Lisa and I have no biological children of our own, I was also honored to receive Detroit's Favorite Father Award by the National Partnership for Leadership in Washington. So, you know, we were very focused on this vision that we had. And with the help of some wonderful people like Nancy and Larry Johnson, we made this live concert-style show, and we wrote a play that incorporated a what-if concept. Like, would it even be conceivable for a group of kids to join together to promote a positive music agenda to their peers? In other words, can we get life to imitate art, imitating life?
Mm.
Well, guess what? We did it. And
kids
came from all over Metro Detroit. And, you know, we'd already formed a relationship with 14-year-old Jarrell Quinn and his family. And our then vocal coach, Susie March, introduced us to the Carter family. That became 6 members right there. While Larry and Nancy brought their own children, their cousins and friends. It was truly amazing. So the title track on the album, Youth Under Construction, tells that story.
Yes. And you know, I'll say I've known David for I don't even know how many years. It's been a long time. And his beautiful, lovely wife, Lisa, both of them amazing people, just a ton of heart, a lot of drive. And, you know, sometimes the things that we do, we're so far ahead of where everybody is that they take a really long time to come to fruition. You know, they've been on the front end of the anti-bullying campaigns and that whole youth under construction concept for a very long time, long before anybody else was talking about it. I've got a 6-year-old, and when we turn on any kind of like hip hop or rap type music, I just watch him wiggle, man. I mean, he loves the sound of it, but you're absolutely right, David. There's a lot of it that has a very difficult message to swallow. And so there's a lot of it that I don't let him listen to, because unfortunately it's something I don't want him ingesting that stuff. But stuff like Youth Under Construction, Young Pop, and some of the stuff you're going to hear on this show tonight from David and his group, This is the kind of stuff that our young people can hear, need to hear, should be performing, should be listening to, should be a part of. And so unlike every other show that we've done so far, I've had two people, one representing the music and one representing the film side, and you've got all this going on with you, just, you know, you. And maybe a special guest. We'll see how that goes. We'll ride it out, and I don't want to give too much away, so we'll see. But that first song we were listening to, Youth Under Construction, we were talking about bullying and, you know, I mean, man, you know, years ago, you were on the front end of this, talking to people about it, trying to help solve this problem. And unfortunately, you know, that story has not changed today a whole lot. You know, there's still bullying. There's still violence in our schools. There's violence in our playgrounds. There's bullying. You know, it's everywhere. It's a pervasive problem in every community and every city and every state in this country. So I really want to hear more from you about how, you know, how you guys address that through music.
Well, you know, Eric, back when we were doing the project, there was a statistic out there that said one out of every seven students was a victim of bullying. And, you know, here we are about 20 years later, and I would say nobody escapes these days. There's so much activity out there that these kids have to deal with, you know, body image, body shaming, you know, whatever it might be. Anybody that's different, you know, is a target. And that's a sad thing. And, you know, as far as the music goes, there was, you know, a lot of young women that accept bad or inappropriate behavior because they think that's the way it is in rap songs, so that's the way it is in life. But we felt it was very, very positive, you know, important to get a positive message out there. And, you know, one positive aspect about hip-hop is the challenging tone. And we actually took that and used it in the lyrics to challenge the listener to do the right thing. If you remember those school assemblies we had back in the day, you know, they take you out of class and move to the gym or an auditorium. Well, we would go in with a group of anywhere between 3 and 12 kids between the ages of 8 and 18, and they would be singing, rapping, breakdancing, you know, like a large-scale production. And the students responded with cheers and screams that they made us feel like this was a national touring act on tour, you know? And over a year, we did either a live show or we were featured in the local media every single week. And we ended up doing 200 of those live shows, you know, school assemblies, festivals, variety of events. And then later we developed an after-school program that invited the youth to join and participate in our programs. And those were some of the most amazing experiences. So no matter what their personal circumstances, we took the teens and preteens in with no judgment and invited them to share the message of respect with other people.
This radio is powered by Streamlion, the superior internet radio hosting service that provides our SoCan license coverage. Visit Streamlion.com for more.
What's happening?
How you doing?
You guys are happening.
What's up, Damien?
How much, Tyrone?
How are you doing, sir?
Good. How do you pronounce your name? Tyrone or
Tyron?
Tyron.
Tyron. Okay. Tyron.
Are you a Louisiana or are you how
Louisiana?
Are you?
Yeah.
I knew it, man. When I saw your picture, I'm like, dude, that dude has to be from Louisiana. And then when
I live right outside of New Orleans.
Okay. And then when your music dropped in, I was like, oh yeah, my wife is French Creole, so.
Oh, cool. Wow, okay.
Yeah. Where y'all from? Damien, where you're at?
I'm in Orlando.
Oh, killer. Love Florida, second favorite state.
Yeah.
How about you, Eric?
I'm wherever I gotta be. Right now I'm in Georgia. I just left Michigan and I'm headed to Florida tonight, so.
Wow, what part of Florida?
I'll be up in Tampa.
Cool. Yep. The whole state's cool.
Yeah, it is. It's a fun.
Yeah.
They're all, you know, everybody asks me all the time, well, what's your favorite state to live in? And I'm like, I do not have one, man. I love a little bit about all of them.
You know, man, I get the opportunity to tour the country playing music, and when you see each state, every state, believe it or not, in this country, and I haven't toured extensively in Europe at all, but in this state, every state has something beautiful about it. So when you come to the name America the Beautiful, geographically, I it's stunning. I mean, every place you can go, there is geographical, just stunning stuff out there.
Agreed.
It's really amazing.
And it's me, it's all, and it's throughout the time of the year, too. Like, I don't want to be in Michigan for very long in the winter, but I love it there in the summer. I don't want to be in Florida a whole lot in the summer, but I love it in the winter, you know? So there's different times of year to catch different wonderful things about everywhere, just like you said. And I got to travel Europe a couple months ago, and it was amazing. I can't wait to do it again. So...
I'm thinking we're going to go to Ireland. Believe it or not, our music is kind of, you know, I don't know if y'all saw my stuff, but I play a Cajun accordion.
Yeah, like the Zydeco type,
but I don't play traditional Zydeco or Cajun music. I play like a rock and roll.
Yeah, I know.
Accordion.
It's
It's, you know, in Louisiana, they look at you like, maybe.
Right. Right.
Yeah. But you go outside the state and people freak out.
Oh, yeah.
When you're playing the Bee Gees or the Rolling Stones on a 10-button box, people freak out.
Oh, wow.
Now, you send that music to Ireland, and so Ireland, I didn't know, they call it a melodeon. In history, it's called a melodeon. And so they use the same instrument in their folk music. And when they started catching wind of what I'm doing with the 10-button accordion, they're freaking out over there. So I think some good things are going to happen for
That's
us in
cool.
Ireland. Really wild.
All right, we're getting into fun stuff already. So hold on, we're good. You're gonna have to tell that story again in a minute then. So I'm gonna jump in and just start off the show really quick.
Welcome to Story to Screen here on KPEO World Community Radio, where we're rocking the film world each week on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can go online, download the app, and listen in weekly with new guests and music, or catch the replay on wearestarfish.org. This is Story to Screen, and I'm your host, Eric Krefeld. Let's dive in. On the boulevard.
This is Eric. I'm here with Story to Screen. I got some amazing guests tonight. We've got Damian McKnight, and I'm going to say his name wrong so many times because it's that American accent in me, and he's got this beautiful French name, Tyron.
Yeah, close
Tyron. I'm going to get it right yet.
Like Byron,
but Tyron. I got it. That'll help. All right, so we got Damian McKnight and Tyron Benoit. And we're going to jump right into Story to Screen right here. I'm going to kick things off with, roll the dice, Damian. All right, Damian, so tell us a little bit about you. What, you know, give me a little bit of history, a little background on who you are and why we know you.
Definitely, man. Well, I began my career, ever since I was a little kid, I always knew that I wanted to be in entertainment. I come from an entertainment family. Like, a lot of members of my family have been in entertainment, music, television, that type thing. So that was sort of like a natural progression for me. Back when I was growing up, when I was in high school in Orlando was sort of being touted as sort of like the Hollywood East, you know what I mean? So it was like, it was great. So I got a lot of experience working on like television shows and movies. And then eventually I moved out to California for work, for school, actually. And I just stayed out there. I lived out there for 12 years. I worked on shows like Friends and Family Matters and Step by Step, Kirk Cameron Show.
I love Kirk Cameron.
Yeah, Kirk Cameron's a great guy. But working on all those shows, and then I moved over out of more like episodic television into commercials. So then I started directing commercials for like Air France and Virgin and... who else? Lexus, things like that. So directing a lot of commercials and things like that. So then I sort of have taken that, and I've worked for Warner Brothers Television, Walt Disney Co., Universal. I've worked for all the big major guys. And so that's been like a sort of like 25 to 30 year career, you know what I mean? Just in like music videos and television and commercials and infomercials even. I've directed infomercials too. So it's been a good time. So now I live in Orlando, and I have my own production company. It's called Free Run Media, freerun.media. You can go check it out. Just doing a lot of fun stuff, doing what I love, man. So that's a little bit about me in a nutshell.
You don't look old enough to have done all that. So maybe, I don't know, you probably started at like 3 years old. I'll buy into that.
I turned 50 next year. So.
Wow. Kudos, man. You're 51 on 30, so.
50's the new 30.
Exactly.
New 30, exactly.
All right, Tyron. Tyron, what about you, my friend? Like, what do you got going on right now? Tell us a little bit about who you are and why we know you.
Louisiana, born and raised. Spent some time in New York City, believe it or not, studying acting. I got to work a little bit with Alec Baldwin. You mentioned Friends. It's funny, Damien, one of my little claims to fame in the movie business, I was the stunt double for David Schwimmer in a movie called The Pallbearer. My job was to get beat up in a pool hall. And I'm like, maybe this isn't for me. I don't know. Started playing music after New York, believe it or not. And that was sort of a calling. It came naturally to me. I understood music as a language. It just started flowing out of me, and I've been doing it ever since. I had to take a break for some family issues. As we all do, you know, God puts you where you have to be, not where you want to be always. And it took me a little while to get all of that straightened out. But just in the last 5 or 6 years, the doors had, it's funny how you do that. You meet obligations and all of a sudden doors open up for you again. And I had so many doors open up again. And so now we're just plugging away with vengeance at music. Really prolific time in my life. It's been fantastic. I've had the opportunity to work with some great people. And it's going on, believe it or not.
This is Story to Screen, and I'm your host, Eric Krefeld. Let's dive in. On the Hey, everybody, this is Eric here at Story to Screen. We've got a great night for you tonight. Tonight, we've got Heather Fraley with us, we've got her here, so we're excited to talk to her. Heather, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Awesome. Why don't you tell our audience a little bit about just who you are, what your background is, the kind of things that you're delved into, and things you're working on currently even.
Okay, perfect. Well, I am mainly an actress, but I'm also a business partner on two different film productions, Fear Fame Film Productions and Shaver Fraley Film Productions. I also direct, do stunt work, I write, I do photography, I do everything film related, and I'm going on January will officially be my 2-year mark of being in film.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, you've obviously wrapped your arms around pretty much everything in the film production area. Let's talk about directing a little, because, you know, being a female director, that's still kind of a new thing. There haven't traditionally been as many female directors as there have been men. You want to take a stab at you know, why you think that is, or what it's like being a female director? If it, you know, how's your experience?
I don't know why that is. I'll go with that. maybe more females prefer acting. I don't know. Or maybe they just weren't, you know, given the opportunities. Maybe it's a society thing. I can't be the judge of that. But my experience is, my first time directing ever was on my short film called White Poison. And it was entered into the OIF Film Challenge. And I actually got 10 nominations and one award. And it's currently in another film festival called TBUF, which is the Tampa Bay Underground Film Festival. And that's going to be showing tomorrow, and it's up for a nomination as well. So that was my first time directing. I also have been directing since then. I did a short film, another short film for another challenge called Hinders. That also is an award-winning film. So I'm very lucky that some of the films that, you know, two of the films so far that I've directed are award winners. So that's amazing. It's still hard to believe.
Congrats.
Thank you. As far as the experience goes, both films I directed and was an actress in. So it's a lot of work. I think that if you're going to direct, you should probably just direct. And if you're going to act, you should just act.
Amen.
Taking on both roles. afterwards, you're going to sleep for like 3 days straight. You're going to be so exhausted.
Yeah, that's really schizophrenic because, you know, I don't know if, you know, people don't really understand that there's a mindset to both, and they couldn't be more different. As the actor, you're in character and you're portraying someone that you're not. And so you have to feel, walk, talk, sleep, eat, you know, like that person, not you.
Exactly. You have to turn it on, like off and on, like a switch, and then be like, okay, I'll be right back. Then jump behind the camera, make sure everything's good, make sure everybody's where they're supposed to be, and then jump back over here.
And there is a little bit of a character to a director too, I feel like. You know, I feel like, you know, you put on a director hat when you step into that space and you go, okay, I need to embody this right now. And because I do it too, where like I'll flip sometimes between DP and direct, or, you know, and it's like very different spaces and in a very different ways that I talk to people depending on which space I'm in too. So
exactly. It's because, you know, when you're a director or even an assistant director, you have to be kind of the firm one on set.
Yeah.
You have to, you know, it's like, okay, well, you know Heather as your friend for some of the actors, then you know me as my character, and then you know me having to tell you know what to do. So I have to step up and do all of those 100%. And it is kind of like, it feels bipolar or schizophrenia.
I was just going to say schizophrenic. Yes. Like totally schizophrenic. Absolutely. It's a strange experience. And yet I always encourage every actor I've ever met. I always encourage them to, you know, even if it's just a kid's thing or if it's just something fun as a hobby, like go direct something one time and go be the DP one time on something, because you'll start to see your role as an actor a whole different way. And
absolutely.
Same true with all of it. As a DP, go stand be. I did it. I did it one time where I got in front of the camera and made an announcement, and I'm like, oh god, this is like horrible, like why do people do this for a living? Like,
that's so funny. Yeah, you find out really quick where you fit and where your strong points are.
Yeah.
But I do recommend, highly recommend picking one or the other for each film, not doing it all. I mean, the films came out great. I'm very, very lucky. I had a very strong team, and a lot of support and a lot of help, but just so you can, you know, focus a lot more on just one thing at once, I recommend not directing and acting. Give it up, yes, I'm ready. Give it up, feel the pain. It's bound to eat you, and up a beast of prey. Give it up, yes, I'm ready. Give it up, feel the flames. It's bound to beat you. Beat you at your own game.
Thanks for spending some time here at Story to Screen on KPEO World Community Radio. I'm your host, Eric Krefeld, and we're rocking the film world every Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can download the app or listen live, or catch the replay at wearestarfish.org, because each one matters. Catch you next week on Story to Screen. Keep supporting film and music. It's the story we tell that matters.
This radio is powered by Streamlion, the superior internet radio hosting service that provides our SOCAN license coverage. Visit streamlion.com for more.